He has, like, turtle-related superpowers.
Yeah. He's Turtle Man. He can go into a shell.
sounds like any, like, introvert. Hello, and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, The Nerd's Way. I'm your host, John, and this is...
Adam, hi. Nice to see you.
Oh, I was trying to interrupt you, but you just kept talking. so, it's been a while. The last episode, we had Stefan on as a guest.
Woo!
Now...
Love you, Stefan.
Yes, I hope you're listening. As he did say on the episode that he doesn't give us a free book every time we mention his shop.
But we're still going to claim that we do, and one day keep building up that debt. So that's cool. So today's episode is brought to you by Fear. We may have had that before, but we're going to do it again. It's a returning sponsor. So every time you're afraid, the sponsor gets $1,200,000.
So just think about it. Next time you're scared of something, just think, oh, thank goodness I'm here to support.
Surviving the apocalypse, The Nerd's Way. You're supporting us.
We appreciate your fears.
Yeah.
I hope I don't put that at the start of the episode.
We appreciate your fears.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, John, what do we got now?
I've got a movie recommendation for you, Adam.
Okay.
And I know that you've got access to this movie because it's on Netflix. And I may or may not share your Netflix account.
You do not share my Netflix account because I'm pretty sure that is a breach of terms and conditions.
But we live in the same house.
There's no proof of that. it is on the family TV, so yeah, I guess so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Adam is my dad, for anyone listening.
I am. John, I'm very proud of you. Yeah, now he's going to cry. Good.
Where were we? Oh, movie recommendation.
What do you got for
me? It's called I Am Mother. And I actually found out about this because my friend from work at my previous job, their wife's cousin, I think that's right, it was the director/writer.
Wow, that's cool.
Writer-director. And that doesn't mean that it's some dodgy one because it is on Netflix and they have very high quality standards. So it's not like some home video of someone I knew that I'm recommending.
No, I've seen it. I haven't seen it, but I've seen not even the trailer, but I've seen it on there. Yeah. And you know how it's very annoying, and I'm sure I'm going to get lots of commiserations with this when you're scrolling through Netflix on my PlayStation, for instance, and it does the auto preview, and it's like, I just want to read. I don't want to listen to your bloody high cinematic volume nonsense. Just let me read the description, peasant.
Oh, I like the thing where you...
Automatic does a preview. No.
Oh, okay.
No, but yeah, no, I've seen the like a couple of quick shots of that, and it looks pretty good. I thought it was a horror.
It's I would describe it as thriller rather than horror, but like definitely high intensity, like very tense movie.
Okay. All right, give me the rundown.
What's all right, the synopsis? So the world has ended. There's like a virus or a plague. It's not really clear.
That's cool.
Everyone's dead. All the human race has been wiped out. Except the humans had built basically a bomb shelter type thing to survive the apocalypse and just put little embryos, like half-grown babies, in these little spheres.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie starts off and this robot walks around and gets one of these embryos out and like puts it in this bigger sphere. Yeah, basically a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 24 hours later, the baby appears. So it's way
quicker. Baby is ready.
It's like, oh, it wasn't quite big enough. And he put it back in for another 20 seconds.
It's not warm in the middle. I'm going to have to mix it up a bit.
No, it's really... And it's really well done with really good effects. Like, the robot, you believe that it's a real robot.
Mm.
In fact, it probably was. I don't know. Probably should have looked that up before I started talking about it, but it didn't occur to me. I thought it was CG, but maybe it was a real robot or a person in a suit. Anyway, so you get to watch this baby that the robot... is like, this person will be the first human ever born.
Oh, right.
You get to watch them grow up and become a person.
Okay, so just one?
Yeah, at the start there's one.
And it's a movie, not a series?
It's a movie, yeah.
Oh, right, just one okay. Movie.
And it really progresses well. And there's like, I've tried to not tell you too many details so that it won't spoil anything, but it gets really, really interesting as time goes on. You don't really know what to expect until the end.
Okay. All right. So give me, because you've seen it, obviously.
Yes.
Give me a five John. Sorry. Well, give me out of 10 Johns.
10?
Yep. What do you rate it?
I'd say 9, actually.
9 Johns really out of 10.
Either that or 8.5.
I'd like the 8.5 better because I just you sliced in half. John. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right.
I really, really liked it. I don't know if it's because I just haven't sat down and watched a movie for a while, because my wife was out and Bethel was in bed and I was just sitting on my own and I was feeling a bit under the weather, so there was nothing else I wanted to do except sit in front of the TV and watch a movie.
Excellent.
And it was fabulous. So maybe I'm biased on that, but yeah.
Well, you went in with no expectations.
Yeah, none at all, because I just, as I said, this guy from my old work was like, oh, have you watched it? And I hadn't read his other messages explaining that it was someone that he knew. I just saw the first one, have you seen this? And I was like scrolling through Netflix and I was like, oh, that's right. Oh, I'll give it a shot.
Cool.
And it was amazing. I actually didn't want to watch anything else over the next few days because I was like, nothing will compare to that experience.
I like it. That's cool.
Now, of course, now I've done the terrible cardinal sin, which is build up something too much. When you watch it, you'll be like...
It'll be like, I've gone in with high expectations.
Absolutely horrible.
This is clobdrop. It's like for me when I watched... what was it called? Lost in Space.
Oh, yes. You didn't have high expectations.
I went in with no expectations and I thought it was really good.
I went in with high expectations because of you and then
I didn't like it as much.
I still haven't finished watching it. I should go back when I'm like have spare time to watch it.
Yeah.
But really good. It is like American actors and anything, so you don't have to worry about hearing
Australian accent. You want Captain Boomerang coming in to take off Thanos's head? Yeah, buddy.
Did you call him Thanos?
Nah, mate. Thanos. Nah. We're not going to go like with Stannis, mate.
Stannis Brevi.
Stannis the Menace, buddy. Yeah, it's fully sick, eh?
So, yeah, they have American accent, because I find if you watch a show and there's an Australian actor, they immediately seem like a worse actor. I don't know why.
Because, John, you have grown up in the field of Home and Away and Neighbours, and that right there is the mark of terrible, 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 terrible acting.
If you were involved in the production of either of those shows, don't worry, Adam is just mean to everyone. It's not just
you. No, don't explain, John. I also grew up watching that. I used to watch Neighbours whilst eating my dinner when I was in primary school and high school and stuff, because that was what was on TV.
It's an important part of Australian culture.
It is. It forms young adults. I'll give it a look. I Am Mother. Pretty sure there is a Norwegian, I'm going to say, maybe not. It's a horror film about twins and they think their mother has been replaced by
something.
I think
right.
I've shown you the trailer for it. Yeah, I think that's something like I Am Mother as well. Yeah, but anyway, I'll give that a check and so should you, fine folks.
So yeah, it's not a horror movie. I would describe it as thriller. So definitely don't let that pull it. Just think about it as you will be invested in the characters. It's not like jump scares or anything like that.
Right. Okay. Cool, cool, cool. I like that. Definitely give that a look out.
Okay. I am scared for this next section. Adam has not told me what to expect, and it just has the words, be prepared. So I'm literally already failing at the...
John, you have already failed.
Oh, no.
Because... a listener of ours contacted me directly.
Oh, no. What?
And you were at a community event, and this individual came up and asked you a simple question.
Oh, yes.
Where are the exits, John?
Yes.
Where is your plan for escape, John? What are you doing? You are not, indeed, prepared to survive the apocalypse. You were in a room, a stadium full of people, and you had no idea where the exits were.
In my defense,
And thank you, Pete, for letting me know about this so I can berate my co-host of Surviving Apocalypse the Nerd's Way. Sans the Nerd's Way. But still.
Look, in my defense, I was part of the house band that had been organized to play funky music in the background.
That's fair. Let me ask you this question. Are you on a stage or something along those lines?
Yeah, a little block stage.
So you're on a stage. The perfect vantage point.
Yeah.
To see the exits, to observe the crowd. What if a marauding horde of zombies had burst through that door and started tearing their way through the crowd to get to you, John?
All right, I have a challenge for our listeners. If you ever see Adam in public, please try and catch him out for not being prepared about something so that I can get some revenge.
Please note, though, don't come up and try and grab me or something, because there's a...
No, that's definitely... That's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My response is stab first. No.
If you've listened to the Hamish and Andy podcast, they have this thing where if you see them in person, they will give you $1.
Yep.
Or if it's Jack...
That's $10.
$10 because it's harder to recognize him or something?
No, no, because it's $10. Oh, I can't believe we're talking about Hamish and Eddie here. But yeah. It's $10 because you've got to have printed out...
oh, that's right.
Printed out bank details to give to him.
Because he doesn't care.
And he doesn't do it anyway. So.
What was I going to say?
Challenge for me. Our listeners to catch me.
Oh, yeah. So, but... with us, if you see us in person, there's a chance that you won't receive $1, but you will get assaulted because Adam will just think that you're someone trying to attack him.
But yeah, potentially. Who knows? But no, I will... if I am caught out, genuinely, I'm prepared.
Okay.
And I have $1 on me, I'll give him $1.
But this only counts if you didn't know Adam before. Like, you're not just listening to this podcast because you knew Adam. Otherwise, your friends are just going to...
That's it, yeah. They're just going to be like, I'm going to be in the middle of a D&D session. And you're going to be like, a zombie burst through the door. No, I'm not doing that. So, yes, John, you weren't prepared. So,
yes,
I'm
going
to have to start drilling you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start drilling you, but in, you know, strictly apocalyptic survival terms now. Okay, so, John. Let me think here. What would be an excellent... Okay, where is the nearest power generation compound? Interesting.
Don't know.
Okay. All right.
There's a big water tower just up the road.
Except that's... I don't think that's a water tower, John. That is a... As we may discuss in the next segment, but Perth's water supply is run off a whole bunch of series of pumps. Oh. And when it becomes... there's too much pressure going through the system, what they can do is those kind of like big water towers, what they do is they use that as a release mechanism to shoot up into the air to release the pressure of the entire system. So,
So it probably doesn't have that much water in it.
Possibly not.
Well, I'm dead.
Yeah, yeah.
In the event of an apocalypse.
We'll have to train you up, John. We'll have to train you up.
Okay.
Where's your knives?
My nearest knife, besides a kitchen knife, is around the corner in the storeroom.
Okay.
But I did normally have it in the... Well, actually, I shouldn't say where I keep my knives, just in case.
So, okay. Where is your invocation of torment to summon Cthulhu?
That's on loan at the moment. A friend needed to borrow it. I'm sorry.
You know how hard it was for me to get that for you, John?
Look.
Cthulhu doesn't give those out willingly, and it really gives me a headache, quite literally, when Cthulhu's trying to tear apart my mind, for me to get one of those invocations of torment for you.
I think the person lost it. Could you get me another one?
Fine, I'll get another migraine and probably a tumor as Cthulhu tries to enter my mind with mad whispers. There's a thing for our fine listeners. Not Cthulhu, forget that. a fine thing for our listeners is to always consider, what if the apocalypse happens tomorrow? And I'm not just talking about a zombie apocalypse or a nuclear apocalypse. It could be something as simple as a water shortage. Which leads us into... our next segment.
Bum, 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 ba-dum. Minecraft.
I'm changing the order because I thought that was a good segue.
I figured that was what you're doing. Hang on. Let me.
I just figured it was a great segue. Anyway, so as John fixes up our spreadsheet here, there is a water shortage currently occurring within, and I may be pronouncing this incorrectly, and I do apologize, Chennai in India.
Okay.
It's fourth largest city. Now, you must remember that India has a very vast population. So, its fourth largest city has the population of more than... This is a terrible phrase sentence, or a terrible put-together sentence, but the population of Chennai is more than Sydney and Melbourne combined.
Oh, wow.
And they currently have virtually no water.
Oh.
So, It's not good at all. That's water trucks.
Sad.
Yeah, it is. They have water trucks coming in to put out water to people with containers and what have you like that. But it's not a good thing because they've had no rainfall for like a year. And because it's such a highly populated city, there's more water going out than coming in. So it's not
good. Are people leaving? I guess they must be evacuating this
city. I imagine they're going to try. But at the moment, from the reports that I've read, people are just trying to survive on dirty water, essentially.
Oh, yes.
So not good. And this,
you wanna, we've got to try this once, maybe next summer, but where you get like salt water from the beach or whatever and you let it evaporate and you build this like sort of angled thing that drips all the evaporated water. It lets it condense at the top and then drips down, because then you can make your own water.
Yep, that is one
way. But I don't know if it works with like human waste or not. So,
because
obviously they don't have a beach nearby.
No, because their reservoirs are dry.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's not good for that many people.
So the cause was they normally get a lot of rainfall, but they haven't had it?
Yep, global warming. That's not a good thing. And so, at this stage, that just made me think, we're quite lucky where we are in Perth, because we're almost drought-proof in the vast metro area, right? So, all of Perth City, the outlying suburbs, like all the way up to Two Rocks, I think, if not further, and then all the way down south, like Mundajong, if not further. And it's ran by, I think it's two desalination plants. And basically, it's just like this very, very large loop of pipes that runs around this entire area. And the water comes in from the desalination plants and just pumps all the way through. There's no reservoir. There's no dams. There's reservoirs, but there's no dams that we use. So, we are quite lucky in regards to we don't have a lot of fear of being stricken by drought. Now, I know our farmers, unfortunately, do have to maintain on rainwater and what have you. And, it's not good for the farmers, I'm telling you that now. But at the stage, there's, well, nothing we can do about the rain at this. You know, we're actually getting a bit of rain now, thankfully. Which is good. But anyway, so what I thought is, how do we, John, you and I, get water? Do you know?
Well, you've explained it to me because you're a security guard at the Water Corporation.
Well, all over the place, but yeah.
Including some water plants.
Yep.
So, it sounded like there were two main, aqueducts under Perth.
Oh, okay. So, you've got the... Yeah. So, in Perth specifically, this doesn't really pertain to surviving the apocalypse, but it is an interesting fact for those of you who listen in Perth. So, in this area, we have two major water tables. We have the Nangara Pine Bay, like the water thing under Nangara, and then one down in Serpentine, which by law we're not allowed to touch, and it has 1,000 years of drinking water in it. Not allowed to touch it.
I'm sure that law will change the moment that...
Fingers crossed. Because a lot of it just goes to waste because it obviously fills up and then it just goes out into the ocean. But regardless, so the Nangara Basin, rather, is getting quite low. And it's not good because if that runs out, then a lot of the boar plants and everything, it's just going to cause a whole bunch of issues. But once again, Perth, and hats off to them, the Water Corp have come up with a solution, essentially. And Australians don't like drinking recycled water. It's not a good thing. They just don't like it. So, instead of drinking recycled water, what the Water Corp is doing is they have a wastewater treatment plant in Craigie, Banyah. And right next to it, they have what is known as an advanced water recycling plant. So, in the recycling plant, they treat the water, pretty much make it drinkable, transfer it over to the advanced recycling plant, treat it again, and then dirty it by putting it in the ground. Basically, they're using wastewater, like all of it, transferring it over to the advanced recycling plant, and then putting it back into the ground, into the water basin.
So they are filtering out all the greeblies and bad stuff.
Oh, yeah. And then
at that point, it is drinkable.
Yep, 100%.
But it's just a cultural thing where we're like, I don't want to do this. Yep. So then they dump it into the ground.
They dirty it, essentially. And then it goes through natural filtration through all the rock and then ends up in the Nangara Pine Basin.
Where we then pull out the water again and recycle it.
Yep. Well, so no, not recycling. No, like that's the bore water stuff.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's quite ingenious. Like, it's very good. I'm very happy to be in Perth for this instance, because, you know, drought proof essentially at this stage. So it's very, very good. But
most isolated city in the world, drought proof
in the desert.
This is actually a good place to survive the apocalypse.
It really is. It really is.
Now I know why you came over.
Yes, but so I thought to myself, in a quick manner, we'll try and get through this nice and quick. Water finding in the wild, in the apocalypse, if you will. So a note is always filter water in some way, shape, or form. Because whatever water you're finding, be it from ground or whatever, it's contaminated. That's rule number one. Always boil your water if you can. Because if you don't, you're going to get ill and it's going to make you weak and you'll probably perish.
Do you need a filter as well as boiling?
I personally would, just because it's safer that way.
Because what Bear Grylls would do, he would find running water over rocks, and then that would be kind of naturally filtered.
Yeah, but you got to think, like, in an apocalypse type of scenario, and especially with wild animals and things like that.
Yeah,
you don't know where streams are. Like, you can find a bubbling spring, that might be good, but they're, especially in WA, kind of rare. But, you know, like, the obvious thing, you want to start with the obvious things like streams, rivers, and lakes and things like that. Clear flowing water, as you say, is the best option. So, like, because the movement doesn't allow the bacteria to fester. So, you know, it's kind of constantly moving. So, yeah, you're going to try that stuff, but always try and, you know, test the water first. So, you want to take a drink and then wait half an hour, like, just a sip.
Yes.
Wait, kind of take stock of yourself. Take another small sip, wait an hour, and then if it's fine, then drink. But, you know, just keep in mind of that. You can collect rainwater. So, best way to do that is, like, use a tarp. Now, obviously, in WA, it's a bit more difficult to do because we don't get a lot of rainfall.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, in the early winter, you're going to get heaps, and then the rest of the year, not so much.
But it is a way for you to get some, like, just water, essentially, that's going to be needed. Collect heavy morning dew. Once again, not for our Western Australia listeners, for the most part, but for our international listeners and interstate listeners, you can collect heavy morning dew to do so. Tie some absorbent cloths, clothes, or, you know, tufts of fine grass around your ankles, and take a pre-sunrise walk through tall grass meadows and wring out the water of the clothes that are saturated, and repeat. So that way you've got some water. May not be the best tasting, but at least you've got it. Fruits and vegetation, obviously. Now, this actually surprises me. You get a lot of your water requirements for your body just from the food you eat.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, like, the whole 8 glasses of water type of... Like, you hydrate more than pretty much anybody else I've ever met in my life.
I think I hydrate too much.
Yeah, you're, like, at risk of hyponatremia, I'm sure.
Yeah, where you drink so much that you actually, your body starts to get less hydrated.
Well, you drink so much that your salt levels become too diluted.
Yeah.
But yeah, anywho. So yeah, you know, just eat fruits and vegetables because that'll give you, like, a good boost of nutrition and hydration, which is very, very good.
Which I've got an apple tree and a banana tree out the back.
Which is super cool. So this one's actually pretty cool. I like this one because I haven't tried this method before. It's called plant transpiration. So it's like perspiration for plants.
Okay.
So that's an easy option as well. And you can do it for Australian, not all, but some Australian plants. So I'm going to explain it to you. So you want to take advantage of the perspiration, essentially. So what happens is a process in which moisture is carried from the plant's roots to the underside of its leaves. From there, it vaporizes into the atmosphere. But you're going to catch it before the water does that. First thing in the morning, tie a bag or something you can make, like a plastic bag or something, or something you can make into a bag, the larger the better, around a leafy green tree branch or shrub. Place a rock on the bag to weigh it down a little bit so the water has a place to collect. Over the course of the day, the plant transpires and produces moisture. Rather than vaporizing into the atmosphere, it collects at the bottom of your bag. So there you go. But never do this with a poisonous plant because obviously the water will then obviously have a bit of toxin in it. But still, a good way, like, that's a good way to get some, like, if you have the opportunity, like, you're stuck in the wild in the apocalypse and decide to become like some weird hermit that lives out in the woods.
Yes.
You set up bags in the morning.
Yeah.
And then you'll have, at least you'll have some water in the night if you can last through the day. So that's a good little thing. There's a whole bunch of ways where you can get water, and I highly recommend you research this because water is undeniably the most important resource that we as humans can have. And it's so difficult to, like, carry and move without, like, vast sums of effort.
Yeah.
So, always, always be aware of natural water supplies around or vast sums of water supplies. Fortunately for me, I know where a lot of the water reservoirs are. So, you know, I'm quite good with that.
Yeah, but it's annoying. The closest water supply here is unnatural. It goes down from the water tower. There's this really long, like, sort of aqueduct thing that's going down, like, through these reeds. And it's not too bad. I wouldn't drink out of it, that's for sure, but maybe after some evaporation or boiling.
Yeah.
But it's all unnatural. So, the moment civilization is wiped out, people aren't maintaining it, it will stop.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have to move pretty quick.
Yep, yep.
Making my banana tree useless.
So, obviously, in the situation where you are, everyone knows that Bear Grylls likes to drink his own urine. It's just a fact. He loves it. Yes. He has it with dinner. It's fantastic. He urinates into a cup and then drinks. It's fantastic.
He promotes it quite heavily, but I heard that if you do it, there's no point because you're like, there's so many salts in there that...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what this says. I mean, when you want to try to avoid, like, water substitutes. So, you know, you don't want to be drinking alcohol because it dehydrates you and it clouds your judgment.
Yes.
Urine contains, you know, it's about 2% salt and it contains harmful body waste. Mm. Blood may transmit disease. But that being said, I remember reading...
Drink blood. I think I would have known that.
No, here's the thing. A guy, and I don't know the full story, so I'm going to be super vague here, but a guy was stuck out on a raft for, like, at least a couple of months in, like, bobbing in the ocean, essentially. And he was found by, like, a passing fishing boat or whatever. And when asked how he survived, he survived on tortoise blood.
So, he saw the turtles in the ocean, yep. Grabbed them... And then obviously made them bleed and then drank their blood. That's terrifying.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to survive, oof, that's the best way to do it.
He has, like, turtle-related superpowers.
Yeah. He's Turtle Man. He can go into a shell.
sounds like any, like, introvert.
So, never, ever, ever drink seawater.
Yes, that will just draw all the water out of your body.
Yep, 100%. Never drink seawater. That's my tip. And yes, so fine people, that's going to be it for my water stuff. Look at water conservation stuff, because if, like I said, in Perth we're okay, but elsewhere you want to be aware of any water supplies around you, because if you get in the situation where your city, country, whatever is running low on water, it's going to be a real bad time for everyone involved.
It is time for me to talk about a game that I have played quite a lot. And I've actually been getting into it recently because my niece and nephew have started to like this game.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much child friendly, but it has some really interesting survival elements to it. So, the game is called Minecraft.
If you
have heard of it, it's quite famous. But it started off all by one guy who was like, I know, I want to make a game with, like, these cubes and
what
stuff.
What's his name?
Not.
Yeah. That's it. Yep.
So he made this game all by himself and it became this biggest thing ever. And he started a company and then sold it to Microsoft and now has, like, the biggest house in the world. Basically can do whatever he wants with his life.
Wonderful success story.
But that's not the point of this segment. The point of this segment is the game that he created. Because he kind of made it as this very unrealistic graphics, blocky. It's supposed to look kind of dated and pixely.
Very retro.
It actually gives you the feeling of survival more than I've probably seen in many other games.
Yeah.
Because it starts off, you have absolutely nothing. You're just in the middle of a randomly generated terrain. So, it's random, so no one can tell you how best to survive in this terrain. You just have to figure it out for yourself. Then you have to start by, like, tearing apart a tree, getting the wood from that, and then making an axe so you can tear about more trees, and then making a pickaxe so that you can start to mine things so you can make tools. Basically, the if you remember the Primitive Technologies channel that we suggested many, many episodes ago, it's essentially the game version of that, so you don't actually have to leave your house, which is highly unrecommended by this podcast.
100%. We're not called the Nerds Away for Nothing.
But even though it's not like 100% realistic, like they added hunger and all that later on as mechanics, but even with those basic things, you're always thinking about like ways that you would survive and how you can make the most of your surroundings, which I think is more important, like that learning to be creative and to understand the threats that are going to come up.
Like exploding zombies.
Thinking on your feet. Wait, what? Exploding
creepers.
Oh, right. Yeah, the creepers. Thinking on your feet is important. So, yeah, in the game, when night falls in the game, monsters can spawn anywhere that's dark at any time. But when night falls, obviously the whole world is dark, so they keep spawning everywhere. And there's zombies which can, eat your brains.
Yummy.
There's creepers which explode if they get near you, blowing up not only you, but also the precious creations, the houses that you built to shelter. Annoying.
Yep. What was Slenderman-esque type of thing?
There's Endermen.
Endermen, that's all.
Which will happily just walk around picking up blocks, putting them places. They're very tall and skinny. But if you happen to look upon one, they will turn around and stare at you. At which point, everything's fine. They will not move at all until you look away. Mm-hmm. And then they just go straight for you. So, essentially, if you look at one, make sure you get to safety while looking at them. Which is going to be tricky to do. So, a bit like the Weeping Angels, he actually was inspired by them, but
thought, oh, really? That's cool.
If he used that exact mechanic, it wouldn't work that well for the game that he created. So, he tweaked it a little bit. There's also skeletons, which fire arrows. But the good news is, and there is good news.
Giant spiders.
Oh, yeah, giant spiders as well. If you make it through the night, anything except for creepers and spiders, anything left in the sunlight will be burnt to a crisp, and which is good news because then you can go about your day again
happily.
So it really has that, because although there are no zombies and skeletons and creepers in real life that they've discovered yet,
they haven't dug deep enough.
Although there aren't any of those, the night does present certain threats. Like, you don't know what spider's gotten onto you, or if there's a snake lurking nearby, or a coyote, or whatever. Not in Australia. I'm thinking
dingo, maybe.
Yeah. You don't really know what's out there. That having to adapt to your surroundings and make sure you've got shelter is accurately simulated. So, it's weird. The game gives you a nice, like, feeling of that survival, even though it's not realistic at all, which I find quite entertaining.
It gives you a good mindset for it, because I love those type of games where you start with nothing and you've got to build up from there.
Yeah.
That's like all of the survival games I've played. Like, take Ark, for instance, where you start with nothing. You've got to work up from there. So, you've got to, like, punch a tree to get... oh, my God. I can't believe I'm bailing on all this, but you've got to start low, like get a wooden axe and then a stone axe. And
I think Ark, they were inspired a bit by Minecraft, maybe, but they just made a realistic version
with dinosaurs.
Realistic from a certain point of view.
But then there's like Conan, which we'll talk about in another episode.
Oh yes,
Conan Exiles, brilliant fun and wildly inappropriate in some aspects.
Oh, I can't wait for that segment.
It'd be very awkward to navigate around. Minecraft was super fun because I loved. I want to play this right now. Honestly, like after we finish recording, I want to play Minecraft.
So good,
so bad. All of a sudden, I've just got like that massive urge.
Yeah,
because I actually started playing in beta.
Yeah, me too.
When it was, I think it was free then.
Oh, it wasn't free, but it was like half price.
Yeah, something like that.
During beta. And then, of course, now they've released many other versions, but it's all free to upgrade if you were in the original beta, which is great. Mm. Except I've lost my password and I think someone's discovered it and sold my account on the dark web because I cannot log in anymore.
Oh, no. I haven't even tried to log in ages. So I'm going to have to try that. But yeah, I love that because I always used to dig down. I used to create underground bases.
Oh, the first rule of Minecraft is never dig straight down, because you can encounter a like a underground cavern with lava in it, and you will instantly die. Of course.
Adam, not when I'm not talking like straight down. I'd like dig down and create an underground base, essentially.
Yeah, that's
because I'd like to think I'm a dwarf in Minecraft, and I just spend all day mining.
My thing in Minecraft was to build the greatest base that was like shut off from the whole world, but it had everything that you needed in it. I was growing my own trees for my own wood.
Yeah.
I was growing my own like wheat for bread and everything, and it was all stacked up on top of each other. And the top floor was, of course, where I grew all the produce because it had the most sun. Because I was just like brutally scared of ever going out into the world. Like, it was not enough that I was sitting at home,
a self-contained compound.
Yeah, I was sitting at home playing a computer game, but also in the computer game, I was inside my house, staying out from the scary world. Like, one level of introvertness is not enough for me.
You're like a meta introvert. That's crazy.
I should have created a redstone computer where I created a game where I could also be inside.
Brilliant. I love it. Every now and then I get bored of where I was, so I just take like a whole bunch of stuff, like metal or whatever.
Metal tools, so much fun. You grab
and then go somewhere else. Like, just start like an adventure.
They invented boats as well. You can make a little boat and you could sail for ages.
Man, such a good game.
It's really good.
Yeah, loved it so much. And then like you can create a quarry, essentially, like an automated quarry.
I never did anything that complicated. I don't think.
Yeah. I got into Minecraft by watching the Yogscast.
Oh, yeah, the Yogscast.
The Shadows of Israfel.
Yes! I was thinking about that because I just lost touch with it, because it was this, basically they were playing Minecraft.
But inside, and then a story started from it.
Yeah, a story broke out there.
I need to watch that again.
It got so complicated. I wonder if it finished or if they...
No, I never finished anything. I got like to episode 58 or something.
Yeah, and then they probably... Because they got further and further apart because it would get higher and higher budget. Where there was like... I remember there was like pirate ships everywhere and people like, because they would have had to have real actors who were playing the game to be the characters in the game.
Yeah.
So it must have been a lot.
Oh man.
To get it to work, but yeah.
Need to check that out again.
I think that was the second Minecraft video I ever watched. The first was like by someone called X, who was like, I think it was like the original person who made Minecraft go viral on YouTube, what made it become so successful. Mm-hmm. And now basically every Minecraft video in the world has like millions of views. Mm-hmm. Even I made one and it got a few thousand views. So
all I know is right now I'm getting slammed in the head with a nostalgia hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about Minecraft. Fantastic. Because I have recently just celebrated my birthday.
Yes.
And I'm old.
19.
Now. Yep, I'm 19.
1,000 years old.
19 centuries, yes. That's fantastic. I just had a birthday. And as you get older, you start to reflect. And
yes.
I'm thinking to myself, man, I loved playing those type of games.
Yeah.
Minecraft was the best. So fun. It's like the perfect time sink as well, because you don't really accomplish much. So it's just like, yep. Because eventually, like I said, I'll just leave the base and run somewhere else and do something else.
Yeah.
It's good fun. Love it.
And that feeling when you strike diamond and you're like, what tool will I make first?
Love it. Mm. Always for me, it's an axe. Not an axe, a pickaxe.
Pickaxe, yeah. Because then you can hopefully find more quicker.
Because, I spent most of my time underground. Remember? In my head, because I created a story for my guy. He's a dwarf that has been exiled from his homeland. He's got to create his own kingdom now. So I try to create like Khazad-dûm or Anvil-dûr or...
That's great.
The Lonely Mountain, all that type of stuff, you know? Yeah, I'm an exiled dwarf creating his own clan with nobody else.
Wow.
But speaking of nostalgia, man, I'm with the segues today.
Yeah, good one.
Nostalgia. WoW Classic, folks. My holy science.
Yes.
Now,
I've seen this go viral on Twitter and Reddit and all that.
Oh, it is crazy. So, August 27th is the release date for WoW Classic. So, that's pretty cool.
It's super not out yet?
No, WoW Classic's not out yet.
It must be a beta or something.
Yeah, the beta's out.
Yeah.
But they had a stress test on the 19th, I think, to the 21st, or I could be getting the dates wrong, but it was very recently. Very recent, rather. And I got to play that. And I created a gnome warlock because for the Alliance, of course, and I know all the Horde players are currently foaming at the mouth, going, but you're just savages. And I understand that. Savage, savage Horde. No, but
I thought Alliance was the good side, so I'm surprised to hear
that. That's right, they are. Yeah, okay. The Alliance are the good side. Okay. Yeah, justice, mate. You know?
Yeah, that's what you're all about.
So, I played a gnome warlock because I wanted something small that is just going to annoy people by putting a whole bunch of dots on them and then running away. So, anyway, so I played that. And my goodness.
A dot is damage over time. Yeah, that's right. It's not a... he's not like literally got a paintbrush painting polka dots on
my
people.
My gnome is running at people and putting dots on them and running away. So I took apart and leveled. And my science, honestly, it is... When I say harder, it's not that the game's harder, it's that the resource management is much harder.
Okay.
So...
because you're used to all the things they added over the time to make the game easier.
Because I didn't experiment. So I played the classic for for a day, essentially. And then I decided when it ended, because it was only for a couple of days, because it was to stress test the servers, because they... Blizzard know that as soon as that classic is live, there's just going to be a massive influx of people wanting to get on.
Yeah.
And then I decided when it ended, I'm going to go back to live and do the comparison of how easy and hard it is to level. So on classic, as I was a warlock, you know, you've got to cast shadow bolts essentially.
Mm.
I ran out of mana very easily, very easily. And mana is the resource you use to damage your enemies, essentially, to cast spells or whatever. And so it was a long and arduous process to level as much as I did. Then I jump on to live, and my mana bar never moved casting any spells.
Oh, wow.
And I got up to level 15 in about an hour, where it took ages on Classic. So I'm really looking forward to Classic to waste so much time. but no, it's just all that nostalgia just breaking over your face as you're playing, going, oh my goodness, I forgot that this was a thing. Oh my goodness, I forgot that. You've got auto loot, which is there, but you can auto loot only one corpse at a time. So it doesn't have the group looting anymore. So all the corpses basically, you've got to loot each corpse individually. That's a thing. That I forgot all about that. The talent system is, brilliant. It's beautiful. I miss the old talent system because they've simplified it to be far too easy nowadays. But yeah, so
now you know what I felt like when they came up with old school RuneScape.
That's exactly why. Because if you look at Twitch, for instance, you'll see RuneScape and all the RuneScape stuff in there. It's all people playing old school RuneScape.
Yeah, not the new, not the current modern day good graphic one.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going to happen with WoW.
Yeah,
because it's what's happening now. All that's happening on the Warcraft Twitch channel is Warcraft Classic streams. They're the ones that are getting all the views. People currently don't enjoy the current iteration of WoW.
Yeah.
Death
by 1,000 upgrade patches.
Yeah. But I think what they made the smart move with Classic, because people who want that challenge will be able to use that. And people who just want a casual, easy type of game to play will have the live servers, which is cool, because I'm of two minds about each of them, really. So yeah, but I had a real good time with the stress test, and I know a lot of people did as well, but it was just you could tell people were lamenting over it, because they're just no, I don't want it to end. Why can't they just release it now? Yeah. Please release it tomorrow. No. Because I got on when the stress test ended, because I haven't been invited to the beta, unfortunately. Aww. Which makes me very sad. But probably...
if you're listening, Blizzard...
don't invite me, because it would be detrimental to my life.
Yeah, true. And also never release the game.
Release
someone
it
delete the code by accident.
I can prepare mentally for this. But yeah, no, it's just super fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think when Classic launches, you're going to play with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because we tried one time to play current one, but I was probably a bit slow for you. You running all over the place doing everything.
I can't remember that. Oh, that didn't bother me.
All right.
But yeah, we should definitely win Classic because it's much harder.
We'll stream it as well.
Yeah, because it's much harder. You're going to have to... You said you... I overheard you talking with your wife that you're getting a new computer soon. So yeah. You need to get a new computer that has the which is easy, the capacity to run Classic WoW.
I think this computer will be fine with it.
I honestly think it will be. And yeah, it is going to be super fun. Hell, I'll even pay for a 3-month subscription for you.
I will waste that all.
That's fine. Because it will be amazing fun. Because I know one of our other listeners, Pete, he will be playing Classic as well. So we can have like a 3-man group and do all the questing together. It'd be super fun.
Okay.
But I was going to, eventually we're going to have a guest on that I was going to ask you this question, but I'm going to ask you now. And obviously it will affect our friendship. But Alliance or Horde, John?
Me?
Mm-hmm. So the Alliance is comprised of humans, dwarves, gnomes, and night elves.
Oh, yeah.
The Horde is comprised of orcs, trolls, forsaken, and tauren. Okay. Tauren are like minotaurs. Trolls are trolls. Forsaken are zombies, and orcs are big orcs.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Alliance.
Weird. Yeah,
that's right. I think I was Alliance before because I think I was a night elf. I think I made one human and one night elf when I first played like way many years ago.
Mm. Excellent. Well, that's what we're going to do. We'll even get your wife playing.
Uh-oh.
We'll get like a 5
My daughter
group.
Will be.
Yep. She can be our... she can just be like resource management. she can farm for us when we're not playing. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm liking this a lot. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, I'm happy with that. I just must say it's... it's never where, it's never here.
That was way too forced of a transition. Also, now I can't put in the explosion sound effects because there's no clear delineation between topics. See, now that's just going to be awkward because I'm like, wait, are we talking about Neverwhere or are we not?
I guess we are.
If you missed that subtle as a sledgehammer transition from Adam,
yep.
We're going to talk about Neil Gaiman's novel Neverwhere. Wow, that was actually quite a tongue twister.
Neil Gaiman's novel Neverwhere.
Yeah, say that's that good. 10 times. Actually, don't. No. That doesn't make good listening.
Do it in the car while you're doing it now.
Yeah. So I just finished this book recently, actually, and it was quite the interesting experience. I can't remember if I talked about it on Stefan's books or not, but Neil Gaiman's book, he likes to write as a people watcher. Like if you've ever been in like a cafe or whatever, and you look at people and you invent like a whole life for this person. that's what Neil Gaiman is, and that's how he writes.
He's a good writer.
And he wrote this, it must have been from a lot of use of public transport around England. So it's all built around tube stations and their names, and what if they meant literally what they are, like Blackfriar Station or something, and they were like, what about if there was these bunch of like Blackfriars that would... do this or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that was a bad example. Like Earl's Court and there was an actual Earl or whatever.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So, have you read this book?
I've read part of it. I didn't get to finish it.
Okay, fair enough. So, it starts off with this Scottish person moving to England. And he essentially is on a date-ish thing to meet with his fiance's boss. And he stumbles across this woman who is injured on the floor, but she seems like a homeless person. And so the wife is like, don't worry, she's fine. Like, just don't think about it. We need to get to our dinner. And he's, did I say wife, fiance? I said girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever. And he is just like, no, we have to look after this person. And he picks her up and actually goes home to try and look after her because she's badly injured. And after that point, he is swept into this underworld of people who have, quote-unquote, slipped through the cracks of society. So, he no longer has a job. People are, like, in his apartment trying out to be the new renters of it, and his landlord is selling out his apartment, and he's just like, I'm right here, and no one really notices him.
Unseen.
Which in that case, because they came in while he was having a bath, was probably actually quite beneficial that they didn't notice him.
Yep.
But it is like he's obviously using it as a metaphor for how we do. Like, I see a person who's homeless every day on my way to work, but I very rarely have anything that I can do to help them. Mm. So the best thing for me to do is not to draw their attention, because sometimes they might be using some substance and therefore they might not even want to interact with me in a way that is going to be fruitful for anyone involved.
Potentially.
So you do this bad thing where you just kind of ignore them. And I think that was the metaphor I was trying to make.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting... There's this other society of people that we all just pretend aren't there kind of thing.
Which is interesting. Now, take this with a grain of salt, of course.
Okay.
No, go against salt.
All right. Are you going to summon a vampire?
I'm going to summon a homeless vampire. No. No. There was a reality-esque TV show.
Okay.
And it was about a... Because I remember I was listening to it... Not the reality show. I was listening to an interview about the person who was on it. It's about like a semi-celebrity, if you will, who's living on the streets for a week. And actually sounded pretty legit. Like, you know, like some of the things like Man versus Wild and things like that, where he may not be in the wild that entire time and there may be buffets that he's eating out of off camera. But this sounded pretty legit, like how things went. So I can't even remember his name, but it was like a semi-male celebrity. And he was dropped in the middle of Bondi, taking his phone, credit cards, all that type of stuff, and just like, hey, guess what? Now you're homeless. And so he had to live like he was homeless. So he went through all this type of stuff. And at the end of this whole thing, what he said was probably the most disheartening events that occurred. And because he saw some pretty hectic stuff as well, was the dehumanization.
Yeah.
And like... where people would like ignore him after he's trying to talk to somebody or stuff like that. He didn't have anybody to talk to. And obviously this is a celebrity who's only on the streets for a week and he felt the edges of that type of stuff. I can only imagine what that must be like. I mean, I don't work in the city, so I can't really talk to these people. It must be a tough, not like obviously it's a tough existence, but feeling that disconnect of like, dehumanization almost, I think that would be pretty tough for me to bear.
Yeah, it's interesting. After reading this, I'm thinking about it more and more and like, what are the kinds of things that I could be doing to help?
Hmm.
And it's tough.
Yeah, there's no easy solution. Like, wow, we've become a little too deep here.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this really proves your quote from Patrick Rothfuss that you say all the time, which is fiction breeds empathy, and that's exactly what it did. Brought me into this adventure and this fantasy, but it is all a big metaphor.
Mm.
I'd say definitely worth a read. I think you would enjoy it. You've read Neil Gaiman before.
I've read part of it. I literally have read up to the part where he encounters the injured woman.
So right at the start.
Yeah,
it's weird. After that happened for me as well, I took a break for some reason. I don't know.
Maybe there's got to be something spooky there. Yeah.
It's just a heavy scene, I guess.
Oh, I can't even remember why I stopped. I think at that stage it was...
Something else comes up.
Yeah, something to do with when I was working on the mine site. Yeah. And maybe, like, I don't know. Anyway, so Neverwhere. We'll have to check that out.
It's really good. His creativity is great. Like, you can tell that he is a people watcher and he saw someone on the train and then built a whole character around them.
Love it.
So, it was even more meta and real for me because, of course, the only time I get to read nowadays pretty much is on the train on the way to work. So, I was on the train reading a story about people on the train.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yes, it was quite surreal.
Hmm. So, give it a read and get some empathy in you.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to say Hallway Note. I don't like Hallway
Note. Don't worry. And
the book a read and get some empathy in you, not some empathy in ya. that was my Australian looking through there. My apologies.
I was going to say, like, don't worry. It's not hammering this thing over the head. It's
no,
just a theme kind of behind the scenes.
Mm. I mean, you can read the book without even noticing it, probably.
Yeah, probably. Mm. I mean, Adam, you heartless person, probably didn't notice.
Oh, I am heartless. Oh, woe is me.
And maybe I'm taking a too literal interpretation and it was actually a metaphor for something else completely.
Could be.
But I had read a thing once where it was like, art is, it doesn't matter what the artist thought, it's what the person audience. Consuming the art thinks.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That's cool.
So, so therefore, you know more about what Name of the Wind means than Rothfuss does.
It means more to me, that's for sure.
It's like, he's like, oh, I know I've dedicated my life to writing this book, but I mean, it's all right. And then Adam's like, this is the greatest thing that
this
ever
is amazing. How dare you? The prologue itself changed my life. Well, I based my best man speech on that.
You did.
Yeah, I did. Not word for word, people. No. Take it easy. Like, I'm not copyright. That lame.
He's suing you right now.
Yeah, he is. He's just, he's, Practice Rothfuss has heard it and he's gone, right, that's it. Lawyers getting involved.
Yeah.
It was called, instead of The Silence of Three Parts, it was called The Love of Three Parts. Oh, corny. And yes, I did beat myself violently after writing it and vomited violently after reading it. No.
But it was lovely.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
He was my best man, in case you're not getting that.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I only shot him in the face with the paintball gun about six times.
Six times? Ouch. It got quite painful in the end.
Yeah, everyone got bruises that day.
No one more than me.
Yeah, that's true.
As it should be.
Yep. Well, I remember you got, because at the event, like the people who were running it, they were just like, okay, now it's going to be the groom versus the best man.
Oh, yeah.
And we're firing at each other. I'm like taking cover and firing back and just wasting all the ammunition I could. And I'm just like pelleting you, something chronic. So eventually you've obviously just had enough and turned around and just like motioned towards, I think it was Dave and Steve and another. Yeah. And then I had like three converging on me, which was, that was fun.
I forgot about that.
It was good. So yeah, that was good. That was good. But yeah, so Neverwhere, give it a listen. Give it a read.
And shoot your best friend with a paintball gun.
Yeah, definitely.
Moral of the story.
Obviously in a safe environment. Don't just shoot them in the back of the head with a paintball gun at plain range.
No, that would
very bad.
Be very bad.
Very bad. So yeah, awesome, glorious, and fantastic.
Also, Good Omens is out. So if you're in the mood for Neil Gaiman, there's that as well.
I forgot all about that, really.
But don't talk about it because I haven't listened to it. I haven't
that's
watched
a good
it.
Idea. Yeah.
I haven't.
You haven't watched it.
It's a TV show. I haven't watched it. And I want to.
All. Yes. Yes, indeed. So next time we do a recording, folks, next episode, we will be talking about Good Omens.
I better watch it then.
100%. And because I will say this for those who are listening in on the fence about watching it, watch it because it is extraordinarily faithful to the book.
Oh, nice.
And I was very surprised with it. And they executed it quite well. And because Neil Gaiman, not Terry Pratchett, because Terry Pratchett's passed away. Neil Gaiman was a proper writer. Like, he was one of the head writers for the entire series. Thank you for listening, glorious listeners. You are amongst the greatest podcasters in the world.
Yes. Not amongst. I'm going to say, go out on a limb and say that you are the greatest podcasters in the world.
That is a bold claim, John.
Mm.
Very bold. And I will support that boldness.
Taste in podcasts, unparalleled.
Oh, 100%. So, you can find us all over the place. You can find us on Twitter.
Twitter.com/thenerdsway_pod.
You can find us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/thenerdsway.
You can email us at
thenerdsway@gmail.com.
And you can contact us personally on Twitter, John.
JLOK. E-L-Y?
No, try again. E-L-Y?
J-L-O-K-E-L-Y.
Yeah, how
Isn't
do
that
I
what
know?
I said?
How do I know how to spell your last name better? You said L-E-Y.
No, I did not.
You will listen back and I will... Anyway. And you can find me at Voice of Adam on Twitter. And we welcome any and all suggestions, feedback, and hate mail. But please direct hate mail directed to me.
Thank you. I'm really sensitive.
Oh, no, I love reading it.
Yeah.
Oh, brings me such joy. Your hate, it only makes me stronger.
And don't forget to Google the Apocalypse, Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way t-shirt, and get your very own t-shirt.
Oh, yep. A couple of those have sold.
We are just swimming in revenue from those t-shirts.
Massive. I mean, you don't have to. We don't, you know, we're not pushing those on you guys. They're just there if you want them.
But if you do find us in public and you're wearing a t-shirt, we will have you on as a guest. I don't know.
We'll chat to you.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll get out our phones and do a quick recording and just be like, hi, what's your name? Tell us your story. What's your backstory?
And then you can plug your SoundCloud or whatever you do for a hobby.
Yep. If you've got a book you're trying to write, whatever the case may be, we're happy to do it. Baby got you backstories.
Probably most likely you have an Instagram of your pet dog. I think that's
which
probably
has
the
10
most
million
common
followers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Can you advertise us actually?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Let's do it that way. Anyway. Yeah. So thanks for listening, guys. Sorry about the length of time between episodes. It was basically because I'm a terrible human being.
Hey, this is free, so beggars can't be choosers. Right.
You're not paying for this.
At the same time, I'm the beggar, so please keep listening to our podcast. You are a fantastic listener.
Yes, indeed. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.